You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. It is a beautiful Monday here in the beautiful state of Colorado, and it's another episode of the show for you guys over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your daily bite-sized podcast, keeping it to you within 30 minutes or less of the best content, nothing regurgitated. We're going to analyze anything and everything Broncos related. Have a lot of good things going, obviously, for this episode of the show, and I think a lot of what we're going to talk about here is we're all going to digest the Broncos' loss to the Browns and obviously take a look ahead to the Oakland Raiders. But also, we want to hear from the listeners of the Locked On Broncos podcast in the NFL universe because, yeah, I think it's important to kind of see where everybody's at. There's 2 weeks left in the NFL regular season. There's a lot to digest. There's a lot to discuss, and a lot can happen in these 2 weeks. So that's our episode of today on Locked On Broncos. It's brought to you by MyBookie. Our good friends over there will tell you about them in just a little bit. But I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. If you want to catch some more information about what I do, you want to interact with me more so on social media, you can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I'm Cameron Parker. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. You know, one of the things that I think Cody and I certainly pride ourselves on is interacting with fans. You know, we certainly have done a really good job of that, interacting with fans. I know certain followers of us have really appreciated that. I think Broncos Becca is one of them that has really appreciated that. So huge shout out to her for all the kind words and support as we've been able to do this podcast. So yeah, the listeners of the podcast, I mean, you guys really help make this show go. So any chance we can, you know, get your guys' feedback on this Denver Broncos team, it's a good thing.
You know, the fans drive the show. You know, we couldn't do it without you. A lot of just great listeners out there. I wish I could give everybody a shout out, but then the list will go on and on. You know, a lot of great listeners, so you know, your support is very, very appreciated over here at Locked On Broncos. So segment number one in tonight's show, we're going to digest a little bit of Saturday's loss to the Browns. We're going to take a little bit of a deeper look inside the game and talk about maybe some of the concepts where teams have figured out how to stop Phillip Lindsay and the Broncos offense, and it's simpler than most would think, you know. So we're going to analyze that a little bit more on today's episode of the show. Segment number two, we're going to get our listeners' thoughts on the season. We asked a question over at Cody Rourke NFL. We said we want to see where Broncos country is currently at with things. I had them respond to this tweet with their collective thoughts following the Broncos' loss to Cleveland. And obviously, we talked about the best ones being on air, so we'll talk about that segment number two. And segment number three, we're going to take a look ahead to the Oakland Raiders. So without further ado, let's get started right now. We're going to digest, obviously, the Broncos' 17-16 loss. There's a lot to talk about with this stature because, you know, the Broncos came into this game, and the biggest focus was the offense has to come out and be more aggressive. The offense has to come out and be more assertive in terms of how they move the ball down the field methodically. And we saw maybe bits and pieces of that in spurts, but overall the Broncos' offensive struggles have continued. Punt, 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 three and out, you know, move, you know, go a little bit down, maybe pick up one first down, and then punt the ball away. And that puts a lot of pressure on defenses. We've talked about that quite often. The Broncos' defense has been on the field quite some time, and the Broncos' defense, I wouldn't say, is a shutdown defense. It is predicated on bending but not breaking, and the Broncos' defense this year has done a lot of that. They've bent, but they haven't broken. Then they also have had big games where they do allow these big plays to happen. You know, go back to the Jets game, you go back to the 49ers game, you go back to that one long touchdown catch from Breshad Perryman, 31 yards, things like that. You know, big plays you have to avoid. You know, obviously the 40-yard run by Nick Chubb late in that fourth quarter too. Broncos getting a big stop on fourth and one though on that drive. There's just a lot of things you just wish you could tighten up defensively. But the Broncos here, let's not waste any time with this. Let's not question it, because this Broncos team, the guys in that locker room, room. They are a very, very tight-knit and close group. They are not divided. Despite the struggles, despite everything not going in their favor, they are not divided. They are strong together, and that is one thing, that's one test I love to see about this Broncos team, is that despite all the adversity, despite all the noise that is coming in from the media, from the outside world, this team is still focused. This team still has a lot of pride to play for. And in the NFL, you never know. Every game is, you're not guaranteed another game. You know, you could always get hurt. You know, something could happen. So every game is not guaranteed for these players. And I think fans really have to kind of take a look at from that perspective, because we put athletes on such a high pedestal that we kind of ignore the fact that they are human beings, that, you know, they're great, talented, athletic people, but they are human beings. And so I think we have to be more mindful of the fact that this team, despite the struggles, they have not given up. So Broncos country, if anything, shouldn't give up as well. You know, through good times, through bad times, you got to stay the course. You know, you got to stay as positive as you can to find a silver lining. You got to look at ways that the team can become more competitive, and you got to embrace the struggles. You know, when you're there for all the growth, the success, you got to be there when the times are hard too. So I think that's one thing I hope Broncos country can take away from this. But Cam, I think the biggest question for the Broncos offensively is, how come they can't get Philip Lindsay going? And I've got an answer here, because I think it's simple. I went back and I watched the film today. Obviously, I'm going to go back and watch the All-22 when it releases. But I went back to the San Francisco game, and then I went back to this Browns game. And NFL defenses, because Emmanuel Sanders is out with a torn Achilles, NFL defenses aren't necessarily too worried about the Broncos wide receivers. Now, they are a little bit more so about Cortland Sutton. They're always playing a safety over the top of where Cortland Sutton is. But defenses are just manning up on the inside a lot of times. Sometimes they go in quarters coverage. But a lot of times they're stacking the box, they're pinching down and squeezing the interior gaps, and their edge guys are playing strong and tight contained for the stretch play, the counter, and the toss. I mean, we've seen, you know, on the weak side, for example, they'll play contained with the outside backer. They'll bring up a strong safety as well off the weak side where they run a toss or a stretch play, and it blows it up. And we saw that when the Browns game, and Deshaun Hamilton had missed that block, and it blew Philip Lindsay up in the backfield minus 3 yards on that first drive. So the Broncos, it's not necessarily that teams have figured out how to stop Philip Lindsay, it's the fact that the Broncos have one offensive weapon that they've been relying heavily on, and that's Philip Lindsay. So they're going to have to get a little bit more creative in these final 2 weeks in order to get, you know, obviously Philip Lindsay out in space, but some of these wide receivers have to step up. We saw that from Tim Patrick. We saw that from Deshaun Hamilton. But it all starts with the quarterback. He's got to do a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we touched a little bit on that in our post game, and it isn't so much, like you alluded to, it isn't so much the fact that the Denver Broncos or the other teams can't exactly stop Philip Lindsay. It's just they are honing solely on the running game because they want Case Keenum to beat that secondary. Now, I feel like, honestly, if Case Keenum should realize it, if there is single coverage on Cortland Sutton every single time, I am exploiting that matchup 100% of the time. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be throwing it 50 times a game, but it means that, you know, you should at least put in the back of that defensive coordinator's mind, defense's mind, that I will challenge the field and I will still throw the ball down the field and exploit the middle or on the outer part, you know, because I'm going to stretch you guys out still. But there also, as we said yesterday, there's that fine line between being aggressive and still keeping tabs on what you do as an offense. And unfortunately, like in the San Francisco game, they were punched in the mouth in the first drive. I mean, they had negative yardage on their opening drive. I mean, you could not have scripted a worse start for an offense, whether it was the Broncos offense, you know, you name it. You could not have scripted a worse start. And that, unfortunately, has been just, I guess, the more frustrating part of the 49ers game and the Browns game. And, you know, even going back a little bit into the Jets game, I mean, they cannot start fast right now. And so I don't exactly understand what has happened. My biggest question, really, Cody, has been during this 3-game winning streak, this team was disciplined. This team was disciplined. And I felt like in the games against the San Francisco 49ers and now the Cleveland Browns, it's like we're entering week 14 and week 15. So why on earth are you guys reverting back to your beginning part of the season lack of discipline right now? Because in this particular point in the season, you guys should have come together a little bit as a team, played a little bit more discipline. And I realize, and you made the point that they are human beings, and they are human beings, you know, and it's just that unfortunate thing that as time goes on, you certainly hope that they would have come together in that regard, been a little bit more disciplined. It may have been, as we said yesterday, it may have been a questionable call on Jamar Taylor, but you can't put yourself in that situation. And because they put themselves in that situation, they ended up being down to just two cornerbacks. So it's just – that's been my kind of thing is as far as the 49ers game and the Cleveland Browns game.
Yeah, you know, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, you know, you can't have that, you know, that is definitely, you know, I get if you're an athlete, you're trying to make a play, and let's say it's a 50-50 type of play, you don't make it, and they, you know, obviously maybe catch a big play. I get that in regards to discipline, but, you know, in regards to Jamar Taylor, absolutely, you got to be smarter in that situation. It's a second and 17. You can't even retaliate. Let the wide receiver, let him swing or shove you, but don't retaliate. Don't do that thing, because guess what? Not only did it cost you being able to go out there and contribute on the field, it also added to a penalty as well. I know it was, you know, two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on both him and him. I thought it was very ticky-tacky, but you can't still put yourself in that situation. So definitely a rough spot. I absolutely agree with you there. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in segment number two, alongside with our fans who gave some feedback for what their expectations are or what their thoughts are following the Broncos' loss to the Browns 17-16 on Saturday. But before we jump into all that, I got to tell you about our sponsor of tonight's show, and that's our good friends over there at MyBookie. And I tell you what, money is in the air. It's the holiday season, and with MyBookie, you can discover a variety of ways that you could win cold hard cash today, right now, as we speak. Now, MyBookie features awesome, highly interactive features, such as making live in-game bets, and you can even bet on the total number of fantasy points a player may score in Sunday's matchups. But don't wait. Head on over to MyBookie right now and make a deposit today. When you do that, they will literally match you dollar for dollar when you sign up and you use promo code LOCKEDON25. That's one word, locked on, the number two, the number five. And if you make a deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, MyBookie is going to throw you $25 of additional free money that you can use to make even more money today with MyBookie. So visit MyBookie and use promo code LOCKEDON25 to get in the game and make money today. All right, a little segue here in terms of getting into segment number two. We're going to hear from what our fans thought, obviously, after the Broncos lost. What's the state of the franchise through the fans' mind? Obviously, if you go on Twitter, if you go on Facebook, I get it. Broncos fans are very passionate. Any sports franchise is very, very passionate. However, the end of the world is occurring if you hop on social media. I get it. The losses, they hurt. But you got to also think about it from this way, too. These players don't like losing. They absolutely don't like losing. Garrett Bowles competitive. Will Parks, our guest on our show, for the Will Parks Show, keeping it Will. Will Parks is very passionate. I mean, these players, you know, everyone will say, oh, they get paid to, you know, to win games. Absolutely. But they also get paid to play the game. They give their all. They sacrifice their bodies for that. They're competitive. Nobody likes losing. Nobody. Not even in board games. I don't like losing in board games either. So, you know, I think the Broncos still have that competitive nature inside of them. So many people need to just stop questioning that this team has no competitive nature to them, because it's really, they really do. They challenge themselves. They push themselves. We see it. Now, the end result doesn't always come out in the way that we'd always like or anticipate. So relax a little bit on that. I kind of wanted to piggyback a little bit off of what we were kind of talking about back in segment number one. But in terms of discipline and everything like that, I like the fact that this Broncos defense has been very, very aggressive. Now, they got penalized a lot of times last night. Some good holding calls that, you know, obviously where there was an evident hold, but then also some ticky-tack holding calls. I feel as if in the NFL, you can't play physical defense anymore. If you're a defensive back, you can't even identify or even jam a wide receiver without there being a flag. Now, I do want to give a game ball, obviously, to Demonte Thomas. I thought he did a phenomenal job stepping in, but more so, I'm going to give the game ball, and this isn't no bias, you know, because he's a guest on our show, but I think if you go back and you watch that game, one guy defensively outside of, you know, Von Miller when he had his sack, A guy that really stood out to me consistently all throughout the night, Will Parks. He was everywhere playing that dime linebacker position that we used to see Sua Cravens at. He's getting more reps. His reps have increased week by week by week, and he's made an impact. And there was a deep ball that Baker Mayfield had thrown that he rose up, and he knocked it out of the wide receiver's hands. A great pass break up there. That is something that I like to see. I like to see that this defense is still trying to fly around. They may bend a little bit, but they don't break. And we saw that with that huge 4th-and-1 stop late in the game to give the Broncos offense a chance to possibly drive down the field and win the game. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But Cam, let's kind of take a look to some listeners of Locked On Broncos here on this twit where they say, you know, really kind of their frustrations, their analysis, their state of the franchise. And I'm going to go with our good friend Graham Tika over there, predominantly orange. He said, this team has loads of talent, but different decisions, coaching and post-snap decisions by Case Keenum have hurt our chances of succeeding on offense. Teams aren't afraid of Case Keenum. They are now focused completely on Lindsey. On defense, not playing Walker is very questionable. Play calling has been awful. I don't necessarily know how we could talk necessarily about defensive play calling because 9 times out of 10, we don't know what the defensive play call is, Graham. I do agree with you. The fact that teams are trying to take away Case Keenum and his main option with Philip Lindsay. I mean, they're even keying Lindsay out of the backfield now, specifically having a spy for him out in the flats. But teams want Case Keenum to throw the football. We talked about that a little bit in segment number one, but thank you, Graham, for your question. Then I think the next one we got to talk with Daryl Hyde, DRock7727. He says, playoffs aren't possible, so let's get the young guns on the field for the last two games, build confidence, chemistry, and muscle memory with game reps, draft prep like crazy, and maybe start a coaching staff search. I feel like on this one, Cam, and I want to get your thoughts on this, I feel as if the Broncos are playing a lot of young guys already. And in this regard, what other young guys have we seen?
There's an interesting one, Cody, and I wonder, you know, we certainly wonder as far as the quarterback situation goes. There's only one other quarterback on that roster who has yet to even get a snap. We all thought at one point it was going to end up being Chad Kelly, but there's a significant one as far as a change that if they wanted to go that route, they could. I mean, they were officially eliminated, I believe, on that Sunday afternoon with a few losses. And so they're officially out of contention, which means obviously there's nothing to play for. So why not bench Case Keenum? So and put in Kevin Hogan. Yeah, you guys heard me right. I mean, why not? I mean, well, at least why not at least have that discussion to maybe put Kevin Hogan in? He's not a young guy. But at least have that certain discussion, maybe even think about maybe playing a guy like a Kevin Hogan, at least see what he has in the last three games if you want him to be the backup going forward or if you guys truly is talking the Denver Broncos or if they in fact want to go into the draft in 2019 and go find a guy that can learn under Case Keenum, because I am fully convinced that even despite what we saw from Case Keenum, I am fully expecting Case Keenum to be here in 2019. As far as the other young guys, I would not be surprised if we saw more Joe Jones. I would not be surprised if we saw some more Josie Jewell, a little bit more taken over for Brandon Marshall, maybe even Joe Jones also. Isaac Yata, maybe if he gets healthy. So just a bunch of other guys down there. Maybe even if they feel like they want to call up Shea Fields, for that matter. See what he certainly can add to that offense. So there's a lot of different routes that they can go. But certainly he's not a young guy. But one interesting move that they could make, Cody, and it would spark a lot of debate, certainly, would be maybe contemplating starting Kevin Hogan.
I've seen a lot of people talking about that as a possibility, and you never know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and call for it, but I think it would certainly make things interesting and obviously spark a lot of conversation, maybe seeing what you have. But, you know, I was thinking of the same thing, too. I was thinking if Chad Kelly was still on this roster, who knows when we would have seen him. We could have seen him last week. We could have seen him 2 weeks ago. We could have seen him this past game, obviously. And we could have seen him on Monday night coming up with the Raiders this upcoming week. But definitely those things where you just look back, you're like, wow, you know, just things, cards, some cards in certain situations haven't fallen the way that the Broncos have desired. But We're going to move on here to Dave Scott, Tank 25, 21, my man over there over the pond, an avid listener of Lockdown Broncos. Appreciate you, Dave. He says, impressed with rookie talent, team overall playing well, but being let down by poor discipline and some bad coaching calls in games. Strange decisions to leave the run game, usually at a point when it just gets fired up. You see some real potential if there's a change in leadership. Decisions like not going for it on 4th-and-1 on their 7-yard line shows how little faith there is in this offense. Just sets the tone. If the coaches don't have faith, what does that say to the players? And I think this is a very interesting point, Dave, too. And I think everybody's talking about that 4th-and-1 decision. I mean, we pondered it last, you know, obviously on the Lockdown Broncos postgame report on Saturday following the game. I think of it from the standpoint, too, is the week before you found yourself having to go for it on multiple 4th-down occasions. You went for it 7 times on 4th-down. You got 5 of them. What is the big difference here? There's 7 minutes left in the game. You take the field goal to get 3 points, make it to 17 to, you know, 16 at this point, and then you have to hope that your defense that's really banged up, and Bradley Roby had a laceration on the inside of his mouth. He had a cut that required 5 stitches. He wasn't out there on the field. You lost Jamar Taylor. You had no other corner really besides Tremaine Brock. You want to put your defense out there in that situation and hope they can get a stop. I mean, they did, but there just wasn't a lot of time left, and it really kind of hurt the Broncos. So really, I'd look at it from the standpoint, 4th-and-1, why not go for it? If you don't get it, guess what? The Browns are backed up and they have to drive a long, long ways down the field. You never know what can happen in a situation like that. And it's just a what-if game. The woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, you know, we can't should all over ourselves here. But I definitely think that's another one. But it's rough.
Yeah. I was going to say, an interesting comment, and, you know, huge props to Nicky Jabala for finding this gold. Quote from Vance Joseph. It was back on November 19th, so about a few weeks ago, and it was Vance Joseph, and he said, my guess is around the time of some of those losing streaks, but he said, we're trying to win the game. It's as simple as that, and I'll do it again. I told our guys that 4th-and-1, we're going to go for it. It's just, that unfortunately is just an unfortunate situation, and like you said, I mean, they went for it 7 times in that San Francisco game, so why not try at least, you're in the red zone, and by sort of kicking the field goal, you're admitting that you'll still be 1 point less, or you'll be down 1 against the Browns. So it just definitely was a questionable call, and unfortunately, we'll see if that gets carried over a little bit in the remaining weeks and as the season rolls on. But we're not here to talk about that. I mean, so I just feel like, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. But, you know, he did touch on a topic that you and I did have before, and that was obviously the roster. I mean, we felt that the roster is a lot better than people think. And so and certainly we'll see what can happen next year and with a new group of people, potentially with free agent signings, new draft picks, who name it, that start getting entrenched into that chemistry.
And there's a lot of great points you make there. And obviously, we got a lot of great feedback, too, from listeners of Lockdown Broncos. Such good feedback that we're going to have to get to the rest of them here in segment number 3 and then give a little tiny preview of the Raiders when the Broncos have to travel to Oakland on Monday Night Football, Christmas Eve matchup. Before we get into that, I got to tell you guys about what the Lockdown Podcast Network is doing over on social media. On Twitter, you can now follow at Lockdown NFL Net, where you get all of the Lockdown Podcast Network's local hosts covering their NFL team on one feed. This is clutch. This is key. During games, live in-game tweeting from the host, breaking news, or if you want to get the local perspective, Locked On NFL Net on Twitter has you covered. And on Instagram, Locked On NFL Net is very interactive, and it gets you interested in listening to the shows all across the Locked On Podcast Network. It gives you the biggest stories in just 1 minute or less on your Instagram stories, and you get the longer cuts of the biggest stories around the National Football League from the local host, the local perspective, on your feed. So make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Alrighty, segment number 3 here. We're going to close out the show with a few more thoughts from our avid listeners, Locked On Broncos. We're going to get to Cade Rucker at Ruckafellow21 says, Broncos need coaching change, not to wave the white flag, but to maintain a higher standard. VJ almost saved his job after beating the Chargers and Steelers, but has almost guaranteed his exit with losses to San Francisco and Cleveland. I think that might be an interesting point. I Cade, I certainly think that there is, I think your point is definitely worth some consideration. I think we have to look at it from that standpoint. The next guy we have up is @McMahon. Go Broncos. He says, just look at Wolf's recent comments. He took a discount because he was expecting to keep Wade Phillips, have a quarterback, and keep other key players. It didn't happen. Demaryius Thomas said they won't listen to players about adjustments and schemes or strategy. It reminds me a lot of Hugh Jackson on Hard Knocks. I can't really argue that point as well. If that's, you know, there's a lot of hearsay in that. We're not in the locker room, obviously, to hear these conversations or these, you know, discussions that players have with coaches. However, I do think it's interesting from the standpoint of just how everything seems, but I don't like getting into too much speculation there. Mitch Reeves, @MitchReeves, Mitch_Reeves25, he says, with wins against Seattle, Pittsburgh, LA, I think the talent on the roster is there. With losses to the Jets, the Niners, and the Browns, there is an obvious inconsistency in the Broncos' play. To me, that is textbook blame for coaching, execution. People calling for Keenum's job are crazy, in my opinion. And I think Mitch makes a really good point here. You go back, the Broncos have had some really good wins, and they've also competed very well against some of the NFL's best teams. We saw it with the same exact thing, you know, against the LA Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos have played competitive, good football against. We saw it against the Steelers, who beat the Patriots this week. The Broncos also beat the Chargers on the road. We saw the Chargers go on the road in Kansas City and get a big, big win there. The NFL is absolutely crazy. I'm saying there's no, any given Sunday, it's absolutely crazy. I just don't understand necessarily, you know, just where all the hatred is coming from. There's a lot of anger and animosity at, you know, within Broncos country right now. I get it. The frustration of losing is tough. Nobody likes losing. Players don't like losing. I know John Elway doesn't like losing. And I got a lot of flack because I tweeted out at @CodyRourkeNFL. I tweeted out, if I know one thing, John Elway is not going to let this thing continue to happen. He's really not. He's one of the most competitive people out there. As an athlete, he was very, very competitive. As a general manager, a lot of people I talk to say he's just as competitive. So a lot of people mistake his silence for not doing anything. But really, we don't know exactly everything that's going on there. And I know that John Elway, for the standard that Pat Bowlen has for the Broncos organization, I know he's not going to let this thing continue to slide. I just don't see that being a realistic thing. So I would expect there to be some changes. From people that I've talked to, say that it could come as early as week 17 or as late as after the week 17 finale when you're at home against the LA Chargers. So I think that's an interesting dynamic that we have to take a look at. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. We had a great week ahead of you guys, obviously, with the Oakland Raiders game coming up. We got a crossover show with Locked On Raiders host, your boy Q. Looking forward to talking about that matchup. The, you know, the Raiders going on the road and losing to the Bengals 30-16. This is one of those games, too, that, I mean, the NFL teams have been playing better. You know, the Raiders are playing better, and then they go on the road and lose to Cincinnati. Cincinnati has been playing terrible. They have a pretty good game this week against the Raiders. It's just the NFL. You can never predict it. It's always crazy. And I think I was pretty much wrong on a lot of my NFL picks this week. So we'll have you covered as well. We're going to do an NFL pick show for you guys as well that airs here Thursday on Locked On Broncos. We're going to have the crossover airing on Wednesday. Obviously, our boy Will Parks, keeping it Will. We talk with him on Tuesday, tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter @CodyRourkeNFL. You can follow Cameron Parker, my co-host, @CameronParkerPO. Check out the great work he does over there at Predominantly Orange with a great staff of guys. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.